Welcome to Piercing the Veil on BBSRadio.com, a show for truth seekers and rebels. Join us every week as we obliterate willful ignorance, corruption, globalist agendas, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 5 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Pacific, and listen carefully as we provide crucial solutions, information awareness, and unique life hacks to improve our planet. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
Okay, welcome back. Greetings, world. This is Jordan Michael Askew. Got Corey Stevens here as a co-host of another episode of Piercing the Veil Radio. We've been doing a couple different things in the past weeks. We've been doing the Let's Build a Community series. We're going to take a break from that this week and get into a specific topic, sort of what we started with when we first started the show back in 2016, very topic-specific episodes like universal contracting and sex and relationships and psychedelics and spirituality and so on and so forth. So what we're going to do is actually get into karma and spiritual accounting, spiritual wealth, building your bank account, so to speak. It's going to be pretty interesting because I think a lot of people have some misconceptions, Corey, about karma and what it really means and what it really is and just how easy and or hard in any given particular situation it is to get rid of or settle. You know, that might be the better term. Zero out the accounting, if you will. Okay. Before we get into that, I just want to recap last week. Like I said, we've been doing the Let's Build a Community episodes. I think we're going to do another one of those either next week or the week after. And we'll have a guest on in between there. And what we'll do then is just continue on about the rules, regulations, infrastructure, currency, exchanges, time considerations, land considerations, interacting with the local government, all these different things that need to be considered and planned out when you're trying to build some sort of intentional community or even just like a workshop village, which is where I would like to go. You know, I don't want to be managing people. I just want people who are able to assist in the workshop village, which basically is just an open area for the community to come in and pay a certain set fee, like $10 or $15 or $10 to $20, depending on the workshop. We'll have the people that host those workshops individually. We'll have them earn credits or a certain percentage of that workshop. So that way the stipend goes right to it. These are details we'll get into a little bit later, but that's essentially the type of stuff we've been talking about. If you've missed those, you can go to our archives, and that is www.bbsradio.com/piercingtheveil/archives. Okay, that's going to be anywhere from show 50 to show 53. It should be on the first page. All right, as far as, Corey, as far as current events are going, it's been pretty quiet. There's a lot of posturing, a lot of bullshit going on between North Korea and China and the United States and Russia and all this stuff. But it's just a big old kabuki theater dog and pony show that's happening. In the background, there's been some really major developments, to my understanding. I've confirmed through a couple of different sources that I follow that are both saying essentially the same thing around the same time, which is a good sign to me. And what they're saying essentially, Corey and listeners, is that we've talked before about how the negative factions, if you will, and the actual energetic negative structures, they overlap the natural ley lines of the earth and put their places of power, institutions of power like churches and banks and so on and so forth. They put all these things on the intersections of ley lines, and they hold ritualistic child sacrifices and black magic practices and so on and so forth, and they do these on a consistent basis to continue the fear, death, scarcity, you know, homelessness, war, disease mindset and reality that we're experiencing on the planet as a collective whole, and also the social engineering that goes along with that. Well, that structure that they've been using for hundreds of years, and if you want to really get into it, hundreds of thousands of years, but the recent structure has been dismantled. Huge blow done by the light forces, if you want to call them that, has been dismantled. Again, this is on information, but I resonate with things that are true. It's just a skill that I've learned how to do. And literally, after I'll say something on this radio show out of knowledge and opinion, then the facts show up in like a scientific article. It's happened six times in the past episodes where I'd go and I'd be browsing on online and I'd find a scientific article that proves exactly what I'm talking about. For example, emotions have the ability to shape reality, not just conscious, but the emotions that come from the consciousness can shape reality. We literally said those words multiple times throughout our episodes, and boom, voila, there it is, right? And you know, the holographic universe and so on and so forth. So I believe this to be true, what I just told you about, and what I've believed to be true in the past has come out and been proven constantly. It's not that I'm some sort of psychic or anything. I'm just touched. I'm tapped in, if you will. I'm touching the right bandwidth, if you will. So to be confirmed by other people is really exciting for me. I think we're making some big steps. I did mention there would be some things in mid-March that would happen, which they did go down. I don't know if anybody was paying attention to that, but there were some major things that happened there. And now this, in the beginning of May, typically April 20th to May 1st is a time of satanic holiday. And so there's been a lot of attempted things, and they've been shut down consistently over and over and over. And this final blow happened yesterday, I believe, or on the 28th. Yeah, 28th, supposedly, right? So that's basically a recap on current events. Corey, I just want to jump right into the show. Let's just get your thoughts to start us off. What's been your experience with karma? Or what have you heard people say karma was? Just give us a general description and what you think about it here, and we'll jump the show off.
Well, of course, we've heard that karma is a bitch, mainly. I don't know. I think it's pretty straightforward, man. You put a thought, you put a vibe, you put an action out into the universe, and, you know, like you said, thoughts and emotions shape reality. And it comes back somehow, right? It's accounting. Karma is like a big balance sheet, right? You do something positive, constructive on one side, and it seems like you get that back somehow. Or you know, you do something, you know, nefarious or against your own better judgment, and somehow it comes back. I mean, in my experience, I can recall times where I've done something where, you know, I wasn't, you know, wasn't quite the right thing to do in my mind. And something would happen like instantaneously or within 24 hours.
They call that the instant karma or instant justice fail.
Yeah, and it's like, and then these leads them
up your toe right after you yell at somebody.
Right. And in my case, when, a lot of times, if something screwy happens to me, and whether it's just my imagination or not, but sometimes I'll get an immediate impression of the thing or the action or the thought or the energy that I put out.
That's right.
That caused this thing. So literally, you know, yeah, like you said.
Your higher self downloads to you and it goes, hey, this is what that was. That's where that came
from. Right. In case you were wondering. You know, like I'll get a flat tire or some shit, and then bing, something will pop into my mind about, oh yeah, that's because of that thing that I, you know, I didn't fill up the gas tank the last time I borrowed my friend's car.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Shit. Exactly. I think it's interesting to look at it as money or as accounting, and just in the sense that there's different levels of value too. So you might have a quarter in karma, you might have 50 cents in karma, or you might have a dollar worth in karma, or you might have a bond security that's worth $1 million, to put it in dollar terms. And depending on the level of value and the intricacy involved with that karmic connection to whoever or whatever you're karmically involved with, I think that also determines how quickly it comes back on you, or how quickly you can dissolve it, or how many opportunities that you actually get to resolve it. Some major lifetime karmas, you maybe only get one or two opportunities to resolve it in that physical life before it carries on with you to the next one you got to try again. So in that regard, I think some people sort of have it on the nose about karma. Oh, you got to discharge your karma. But I think there's levels, and it's like value. It's different value sets. And so, like you said, if you yell at somebody and you stub your toe, that's a very low level. It's like 50 cents worth of karma involved between both of you, right? Their receiving of your yelling is a karmic event, and your yelling is a karmic event. And the space, the physical space that's receiving or transmitting or being the medium of exchange for your karmic energy or event or transaction or whatever, that is also a karmic event, right? So that's what you have with poltergeist and residual energy in houses. That's karma that's been built up that becomes sentient and it attempts to express itself on the local surroundings, right? So that's what the fucking shit is doing when you have a poltergeist in your house. It's trying to settle a debt. You understand? Mm-hmm. And so knowing that, you know, that a little thing between the atmosphere and two people might be worth 50 cents will allow you, like the level of you getting your instant justice will sort of give you a measurement tool for how bad or how valuable that karmic event really was. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. So being aware of it is an accounting tool. Like you have to use your consciousness. And what I've found useful, I should say, is you have to use your consciousness as an accounting tool and settle your debts. Okay. And Corey, I think a lot of people frequently forget about assets when it comes to karma. They forget about, they're so quick to not believe the, generally speaking, so quick to not believe the good things about people and very instantly quick to believe bad things about people. And I think, again, that might be a result of some social conditioning and some traumas as a child and so on and so forth. But it's easily fixable just with choices and being aware and precision of your thoughts. So, I mean, so that is a reason, but there must be something else. Why do you think people frequently forget about good karma? Maybe because, you know, like it's a savings account, right? Your checking account is where you're doing all your business, right? And you're getting people drafting, taking some of your karmic exchange out, and then also, you know, you're getting karmic payments in your checking account. But the savings account sort of just sits off to the side there. Maybe you've got an auto draft where it just transfers a little bit into the savings over and over the course of your lifetime. And what are you doing? You're building spiritual wealth, right? So maybe that going on in the background, just by itself being that way, leads people to focus on the checking and counting. And because most people are socially conditioned to be in a lower vibratory state, the checking business that they're doing in their checking account is essentially a lot of negative transactions. So what then are they focusing on? Negative transactions, right? Well, and there's a few people that are doing good things that are, you know, food banks and, you know, spreading information and whistleblowers and so on and so forth. Those dudes are not only taking payments in to their checking account for every person they've helped by information, including us, what we're doing. Every single person who's started on a journey by us, by listening to our podcast or radio show or whatever, Facebook post, whatever, every single person, their soul gives a little bit of karma to us, a karmic payment, like thank you for being the way shower. Thank you. It's like a toll, if you will, for lighting the path for somebody. And this shit is automatic. And it could even manifest physically in that person as like a feeling of appreciation or a feeling of gratitude or a sense of love or peace or whatever. And that sense of love of peace, it helps them. And then a little bit of it goes and floats off and instantaneously quantum entangles to us for doing it, right? And that goes into our checking account. And then whatever terms that we have with our soul and our higher self determines the amount or rate or flow or avenues or how many streams of revenue are flowing into our savings, right? So people who are doing good more than bad are going to be aware of good karma, aware of their assets, aware of their savings. They're going to be cognizant to the feelings that come in of appreciation, whereas the opposite or the inverse is true as well, okay? And when the people that focus on the negative stuff, they tend to get locked, in my observation, they tend to get locked into this feeling of, oh my God, I can't ever escape this. You know, this is so hard. This karma is like a weight on my back. It's going to be with me for a lifetime, right? And nobody tells them that they have the skills and the tools to settle that debt, right? If you meditate for 10 days in a row and the only focus or purpose of your meditation is not to get rid of your karma, but to create a payment somehow of energy, a payment that then goes to whoever or whatever this is owed to and settles and wipes that out, that is the honorable way to do it instead of trying to kill your disease or kill your karma or kill your ego, like is a consistent pattern that I see in the New Age circles, right? So by actually, if you create money, say you have the power to create money, you create a physical dollar and assign a value to it, that's valuable. If you create an idea, that's valuable. So now we're moving into intangible. The ideas are valuable. So if your ideas are valuable, then doesn't it logically lead to assume that your meditation could be valuable? And if your meditation could be valuable, could you not also produce something out of that meditation that's valuable that could be used as energetic or spiritual currency to set off your debts? Yes, happens all the time. I do it every fucking day. And it's a blessing that I've been able to remember this tool, right? And even though I've known this instinctively, I had to go through some extreme fucking trauma, like some horrible relationship trauma about a year and a half ago, to fully understand how to really grab a hold of that and start using it and be my own power and be in control. Does it make sense? And everybody has their little step backs here and there. Everybody has their little day here and there where they're off. The best of us have them. But the best of us recover quickly. Okay? So that's my little soapbox on what I think people are seeing and viewing karma in a general sense on. And what would you like to add to that, Corey? What do you say about that?
Well, I like the idea of you know, the meditation, just the conscious thought, just having the thought of, okay, let me just take some quiet time and let me recapitulate as the Yaquis. And if you, anyone who's read Carlos Castaneda, the Yaqui shamans or sorcerers, would part of their thing is to recapitulate, which means you go through every instance of your life. You remember every person you ever met, and you get a full graphic memory of your entire life, which just seems absolutely astounding to be able to do. But just, you know, just reviewing. I mean, you review your day, for example, right? Okay. Today, ah, damn, you know what? I didn't hold that door for that person. I was in my own mind, and I just, I didn't consider the person behind me, and I went through the door, and I didn't hold the door for that person. And then you say, you know, maybe ask for some forgiveness. Put a thought form out there in the universe and say, hey, you know what? I was in my own head. If I were in my right head, I would have held the door for you. If I had to do it all over again, I would hold the door for you. And that's like just taking the time and the energy to actually contemplate that little incident that most people wouldn't even think about. Most people are oblivious whether they hold doors, you know, little stuff like that.
Thousands of those incidents they're oblivious
every
to.
Day. Every yeah, day. Like, you know, you smile at someone, you say hello, right? As opposed to just walking by them.
Oh, Corey, about that, real quick, I got to interject. I can't tell for sure, but I'm almost positive that I've kept somebody from killing themselves with a smile. Like you can tell when somebody's given up. Like, yeah. Everybody has a spark of life, no matter how hardcore or thuggish they think they are. It's in their eyes. You can see who they really are. Mm. And when somebody gives up, it's the most despondent, distressing, like, it's very like, oh my God, what's wrong? I have to help you type thing. When you see somebody that looks like they're ready to fucking kill themselves instantly, and you give them a smile and transfer energy that in that moment make them feel better and maybe reconsider, like, oh my God, there's connection here, whatever. Or you know what? Maybe that guy went and killed himself. But if that's his fucking contract, then so be it. Like, okay, thanks. I did what I felt that I needed to do as a reasonable person to assist somebody who looked like they needed help, and they made their own choice from there. But at least you made the choice to do it. And it's like universal brownie points. It's not, you don't do them to curry more favor, but you do them just to build your spiritual wealth. You have an option to do anything. Like you said, open the door, smile at somebody, talk to somebody when you think they need it, go cut somebody's lawn for them, you know, or cut their easement so they don't get a ticket from the whatever, and be, you know, just a anonymous merry prankster or something. You know, there are guys called the merry pranksters on YouTube that you guys can look up, listeners, that go around and they prank homeless people with Christmas gifts and food and all sorts of other crazy stuff, and their reactions are priceless. So you can do whatever you want, like Corey's saying, and you know, even Corey, to your extent where you said, oh, I should have done this. If I could go back and do it again, I'd do it. Well, you don't have to create that time loop and send them or ask them forgiveness. You can just send them something to settle any presumed offense or any presumed, like, okay, I should have done that. You can go ahead and send it in, mm-hmm. right? And it doesn't have to be by meditation. Literally, the consciousness is so fucking powerful, it will respond to anything that you assign it as a tool. I can hold a fucking teacup with my pinky out and spin around to the left three fucking times while chanting Cinderella, and it will be a valuable form of payment to somebody somewhere in the universe. You understand? You can stand on your head and spit out wood nickels, as the old saying goes, and you're fucking, whatever you want to do, you're literally providing value. It's the intent that you put behind it, and the reception, obviously. Somebody has to accept that as a payment. If it makes their higher self laugh because you're doing something so silly, and that laughter heals that part, because it's intended to, heals that part of the karma connection, well then, have you not settled your debts? Yes, you have. Now, will that work for everything? No. You might actually have to burn some sage in a fire ritual, or, you know, depending on what the nature of the karma was, maybe hold your head underwater and hold your breath for 30 seconds because you drowned somebody in a past life. So now you experience the shoes on the other foot, exactly what they were experiencing in their moments of death. And that settles the karma, eye for an eye. Do you understand? And these are radical ideas. Like, I'm not telling you to go kill yourself. I'm telling you to go experience. If you feel instinctively somehow, just as a random example, that you've killed somebody or hurt somebody, imagine what it would be like to have that done to you. And just by doing that, you've settled at least part of the debt, if not all of it. You understand? This shit is fucking real, man. This shit is real. There's people that are making the mainstream media news where there's four-year-old kids. Their four-year-old kid remembers his entire past life, remembers who fucking killed him, and even led the fucking police to his goddamn body. This is real shit. You live many lives. It's not airy-fairy bullshit. And there is accounting that goes along with it. Okay? So, I just want to make it clear that this is not like just fake shit that we're talking about. It's real. It's very real. And you better believe that the people who are controlling this planet know about it. So when they try to attack you energetically and you make contracts with them, or anybody else who attacks you, you make contracts with them that says, hey, you're going to be indebted to myself and my soul family as a indentured servant to do my bidding. And my bidding might be helping people all over the world. Well, now you've got to go incarnate where you didn't want to in the shittiest places of the universe and go help these fucking people. Right? So
I liked your thing, which you mentioned before. Your way of transmuting someone's negative intentions towards you or something along those lines. You're like, yeah, okay, I'll accept that energy and then I'll transmute it. And, you know, or it'll blow back on you maybe multiple times or something along those lines. It's like a, you know, it's like a layer of protection. And I see it applies karmically, you know, as you just mentioned. Like, okay, fuck with me. And it'll bounce back on you. Or you'll be doing my bidding.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. Okay, well, I think we've actually got a caller. So you know, typically what I would say, Corey, is every show, or pretty much every show, I've been putting out either a day in advance or the day of a post that says, hey, this is our number, here's how you get a hold of us, yada, yada, yada. And I'll tag people. I'll tag multiple people who I think have been interested or shown interest in the past, and nothing happens. And it's not because they've seen it. Nothing happens until 3 days after the fucking show that was so important to get people to interact with, and then all of a sudden I get this inrush of likes and shares and comments and yada, 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 and blah, 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 right?
Maybe and people catching the recordings.
Facebook is trying to fuck with me. So I've started to like my own post and comment, and that actually overcomes whatever algorithms they're using to delay that post being seen or visible to my friends. And I got some good results. So I think that this is a result of that, and we'll go ahead and bring our first caller on. And Corey, I'll let you go with some questions back and forth after I answer any questions that she might have. We'll just have a little discussion for a bit, and we'll jump back into our topic, okay? Our caller is Jai Lin, I believe. Jai Lin, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hey.
Hey, there you are.
Welcome. Yeah, I was going to say this is probably a little bit of a completion of a contract between you and me, Jordan, because of some of the work that we've been doing together lately. But what you are speaking on today and some of the language that I've heard you use is really resonant with some of the pieces that I've been working with pretty actively recently in my work. Through my particular types of meditations and yoga and therapies. I'm a yoga teacher, a tantrist, a massage therapist, and general jack of many trades. And
yeah,
and most of the way that I work is on the energetic level, although I also do some physical manipulation on a cellular level as well, dealing with basically engaging with our environment in the most mindful manner possible, whether that's our physical environment, the environment within the body that we reside in, or the external collaborative environment of that which surrounds us.
Yeah, I think it's important to work both sides equally. I think a lot of healers, and it's good that you touched on this, Jai, a lot of healers miss that. They try to just brute force what I mean by brute force physically heal somebody is, yes, you're using energetics. Yes, you're using the Reiki. You're using the, you know, Hansan Seishonins and all you know, the distance healings and the different things and the Seheikis and all the phrases. You're using these things. But there is a spiritual aspect, a karmic aspect that goes with the spiritual, not the lower energy stuff. Because the energies that you're working with are still part of the physical realms. It might be the fourth dimension, fifth dimension, whatever. Now, what you're talking about is you're also tying in the spiritual aspect of the thing as a spiritual healer. And a lot of people call themselves that, but they're missing the point. So I'm glad that you brought that up.
Yeah, there's all the different layers of the bodies that we exist in, you know, the koshas, as the Ayurvedists call them. But what's really coming up for me with what I heard you say, and what's been coming in really strongly for me, and particularly in the past couple of months, is the element of focus and intention. You know, because we all think of ourselves as intentional beings, but there's still an element of mindlessness to the way that we tend to approach our lives. We sort of place an intention at a point in our lives, and then expect that to just carry on for us, and then we sort of call it in, we phone it in, we go on autopilot from that point. We have to reset and realign our intentions in every moment in order to be the most powerful and effective creators, co-creators, and manifestors of the world that we see and experience around us, because I think it's pretty well acknowledged at this point that we are constantly creating that which we are experiencing. If we really do want to have the greatest effect possible, then we have to continually reset or re-acknowledge those intentions. And where you use the word contracts, I found myself using the word agreements, that I've found it to be true that the universe responds to the language of affirmations and is always ready to rise in agreement with the affirmation that you place in a positive frame of speech. You say, this thing is already true. And in fact, even more effectively when you infuse it with gratitude, I am so thankful for this thing that is already true. And the universe goes, yep.
Yep, yeah, so it's, what you're doing is you're efficiency modulating. What I mean by that is you're amplifying the efficiency of the way you're going about that intention manifesting. And I do agree with you on one regard, as far as constantly being aware and perception of your intent. But it is quite possible to put a long-term program into a quartz crystal or some other object, whereby you can have this this goal happen, you know, at any given time, or continue to happen, or so on and so forth. But the one thing that you did say, that prevents that from happening from 99% of people is they don't believe in the first place, and they're just phoning it in. So I'd actually be interested to hear what Corey has to say about this real quick, and then I think we're going to have to get into another show about this topic. So and we discussed a little bit previously if you wanted to come on as a guest, and I have an opening in the next couple of weeks, so I'll get with you off the show about that, and we'll start talking real deep about this, about what you're discussing. But Corey, I want to jump over to you because I know we've been sort of monopolizing the side of discussion. What do you think about what Jailin is saying and the way that she's referencing the layers of the body and the lack of intention and dialing it in and, you know, being constantly present and reaffirmation and including the positive statements in with the gratitude? All of these things are really important. So what's your take on that?
Yeah, Jai, thanks for your input. You're coming across really crystal clear. And, you know, I have to reiterate something that you said about intent. You know, I think that's it. That's the entire thing. It's the entire thing. You know, we don't have to, you know, the mindfulness, yes, being mindful all the time. I find it's been extremely helpful for me in my life just to be vigilant. Where's my emotions? How's my posture? what am I thinking about, right? What's my energy levels? Sort of, so I find myself on a regular basis, and it's helped me quite a lot. It's just self-monitoring, right? Even when you're going about doing your, you know, whatever you do, your stuff. And, you know, I do a lot of physical work. So a lot of times I get into this mindless place and I'm focusing on the physical tasks that I'm doing. And then consistently, I've been reminding myself, even in those moments, okay, what am I thinking about? I might be doing something, you know, seemingly mindlessly with my hands, but what's actually on my mind while I'm doing these things? So, you know, the mindfulness, constantly checking in, I think is paramount. And I think a lot of people don't do it. We're so caught up and distracted in stuff that programming and what have you, and the requirements of our daily lives and propaganda and, you know, just raw data flowing through.
Hey, there you go, Corey. I want to jump in real quick. Everybody is living in an atmosphere, a sea of various energies. Now, on a natural planet, in a natural area of the galaxy, in the natural universe, where it hasn't been corrupted, and this isn't the last stronghold prison fucking planet of these negative-oriented forces, right? Naturally, people's levels of bodies, or their energy bodies, and their emotional bodies, and their spiritual, and their higher self, and yada, 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 those interact on a very seamless scale. There's flows up and flows down through that. And the Kundalini, when Kundalini rises and people aren't able to flow between the bodies, that is why they get those fucking pain manifestations. That's what's happening, is the blocks. Mm-hmm. Now, what I'm saying, though, is everybody's being bombarded in this area. So what is naturally true is not necessarily going to free you. Yes, you got to do the natural things that Jaya is talking about, and what you're talking about, and what I'm saying about perception. But you also have to ask for help and or build agreements with the earth, or with something that's natural around you, with the ground, with Gaia, the spirit of earth, whatever, so that it will give you the extra boost you need to clear out everything and have a little bubble, a little shield around you, so that your bodies can interact with only natural events, only natural energies, only cosmic energies, only soul energies, as opposed to Wi-Fi, as opposed to HARP, as opposed to ultra-low frequency towers, which are those supposed cell phone towers. Because if you look at cell phone towers, what cell phone towers really fucking look like all over the world, they're very long, thin, spindly, they're not aggressive looking, they're not sharp, they're not boxy, which produces compound waves that are used for manipulating brain signals and or inducing heart attacks, or manipulating the nervous system of an entire local population. And that's what you have in the United States. So I want to make it clear that even the best, most advanced person could be doing everything right and still experience shit like, why isn't this going my way? Well, there's a reason for that. So grow your power, make agreements and partnerships with natural powers that have not been fully corrupted. No matter how many hundreds of thousands of years they've tried to corrupt Gaia, they can't fucking do it. No matter how many places of blood ritual sacrifice they put on the ley lines, they still can't fucking corrupt. They can't take over. They can't fully take over the well or the water or the flow. It doesn't happen. They're just dipping their little satanic cups in there, and they have to get as many people to dip as fast as possible, you know, and ask demonic entities for energy to keep dipping their water, you know, to propagate this shit that we've been seeing for the past couple thousand years or 26,000 years. So I want to go back to Jai. We're about halfway through the show. We're going to let you say one more thing here, maybe respond or drop one last comment, and then we're going to get back into our other topic. And I really appreciate your input. We're going to have you back as a guest on the future show, because we've talked before. I'm glad you called in. So anything else you want to say before we move on?
Yeah, you sort of touched on what I think is a really important piece. You meant by mentioning Gaia and sort of indicating that this is the framework of the reality that we have all agreed to be in right now, that matter, form is matter. And so the most powerful thing that you can do to anchor your intention into this plane is to put it into matter, whether that is speaking your words out loud, which is a form of creating matter, creating vibration.
That's right. That's
like
right.
You said, putting it into the earth, putting it into a crystal. I think that really does help to give you more power and more form. And it's another, it's an ally. It's a way that you can sort of place your intention, infuse it into this other technology, so to speak, and then almost step away from it and allow the machine to do the work for you. Because like you said, this planet, older, bigger, wiser, been doing it a lot longer, cannot be corrupted. Let her do the work for us because she has the capacity. And where I think some of this kind of ties into the topic at hand of karma is just sort of bringing that element of intention to create completion, if that is what you choose. If you want to come to completion with your karmic contracts, go ahead and speak that aloud. Go ahead and make that a verbalized intent. Put some form and some matter behind that, and you will see it happen faster and faster. Just like you said earlier in the show, you've been saying things on your show and then seeing them affirmed. I've been using the adage, speak your needs so they can be met, because I've seen it work in that way. You know, you can need something and be thinking about it in your mind and turning it over and over and over, and the minute you say it out loud, it's almost like the universe immediately comes around and says, here you go.
That's right.
So it's all about placing an actual vibration, because we know that thoughts and intentions do have power, but the more you can put behind it, the more form you can allow it to have, the greater the power will be.
Yeah, exactly. And I wanted to touch on something before I let you go here. You said thought, and then in the next sentence you said form. And in the context of what you said, you're saying that they're real, actual things. And yes, they are. Thought forms can actually take on a life of their own. And this has been known by Tibetan Buddhists for thousands of years. And these guys actually, they actually dream vividly, and they're awake, and they control their dreams, and they control their thought forms. When they get back into real life, they're able to create a thought form that acts on their physical reality. So it's very interesting. I really appreciate everything you said. Everybody's going to have the chance to come back to this and listen to it as a podcast. This will go around the world. It's broadcasted, internationally syndicated through different areas. So, Jailin, just thank you very much for being on the show here and calling and giving your input. We'd like more people to do what you've done. And hopefully with the changes I've made on my Facebook posting styles, we will get some more results there through our other avenues as well. So again, thank you so much.
You got me, and so much for your time, and I appreciate you guys doing what you're doing.
Excellent. You're so very welcome, and we appreciate you. Thanks so much.
Jai.
Excellent. All right, so we're just going to jump right back into it. We got a lot of good side info there that really ties into everything that we're talking about. She's got really, really excellent candor and speech. I really like that. So I'm looking forward to the next show that we have Jailin on. Now, let's say this, spiritually wealthy, right? That's really the crux of what we're talking about. How do you become spiritually wealthy? And people say, oh, I'm spiritually wealthy. Well, what are you really spiritually wealthy in? Have you really been cognizant or perceptive of what you're building, right? So a person that has accumulated a number of assets or good deed rewards or payments or credits from somebody for showing the change or being the change or doing something or saving somebody's life or yada, yada, whatever it is, cumulatively over their lifetime, at a certain point, your spiritual family's assets, like your clan, your tribe outside of the body, like the ones that are helping me stay alive and have kept me in this body for a long time and not been assassinated and not been fucked with and not been put in jail and thrown on bullshit charges, at some point, your family becomes so fucking powerful because they're doing so much good that they're able to acquire huge amounts of spiritual karma, positive karma, that is being paid. It's like passive income that's coming in from all these different dimensions, right? And I am lucky and blessed enough to be part of that. I feel it in my bones. I've known it since I was a fucking child what I'm supposed to be here doing, right? Took me a while to figure out how to get around the system and in through the system and fuck this system up a little bit. But I did it. And so I truly believe the reason why I have such a great life and why some people have more are incarnated into better versions of life than others, and others have to incarnate as in different shittier parts of the world under shitty circumstances like rape and torture and so on and so forth. Some part of that is because that soul possibly hasn't gained enough spiritual wealth either on their own or through their family to counteract the negative shit that's happening in this dimension, in this area. So what I'm really saying is the true goal of acquiring spiritual wealth is being able to exist in any realm, in any dimension, in any moment without being fucked with. Becoming spiritually unfuckwithable through the amount of karma that you've acquired in your favor. Does that make sense? So now what I'm saying is you settle and balance your accounts. You settle and balance your debts with whatever assets that you have on hand. And whether that happens through the course of your life or whether you're smart enough after listening to this to do it in a month, whether you just take a couple minutes out of every single day for the next month and you go, I'm going to focus on one thing. I don't know what that karma thing is, but I know I have it, right? And I'm going to keep doing this until I feel I have no more karma. And I'm just going to create an energy ball or create some energy thing as a form of payment and send it off to whatever that is. And if you do that, eventually you're going to deplete your assets and you'll have to use your actual physical time or to create and manifest something. You'll feel a difference. But eventually you'll get rid of your debts. And when you're at zero, say you've, like somebody like me, if I've acquired some karma after having some assets, I'm going to have to take some of my assets and pay it out. But if somebody gets to zero finally, then you need to start building your wealth and stop fucking around with the negative karma interactions. Those are the choices that you have to make. Like Jai Lin said, the constant second to second, I want to take it to a billisecond basis, whereby we've said in previous shows that you are constantly jumping and co-creating your opportunities to jump through different dimensions and timelines and realities at a billionth of a second. At a billionth of a second, you're fluctuating, like just jumping and like slowly resonating through these different, and you know, you could have connections to different timelines, and then you make a choice and it shuts down the door to this timeline, and now the probabilities for the remaining four timelines are even greater because the fifth one is now you know, encompassed in the energy of the probability of that goes into these. It reduces it because of, you know, math and whatnot. So what I'm really trying to say is, in order to really truly live a great life at any point, at any given time, at any dimension, in any area, even the shitty hellish dimensions, and not be touchable, you have to have a certain amount of spiritual karma that you've acquired. Okay? And so let's talk about settling karma. We don't have a lot of time left, so I want to get to some of these things. We might do a part two show. I don't know. Let's talk about settling karma. Corey, do you remember in the earliest part of the show, I talked about levels and value amounts. You're going to have to determine, is this karma worth $50,000? Okay, well, how do I create a $50,000 worth of energy? Maybe I make meditate, close my eyes, grab an energy ball out of the universe and say, thank you, universe, for your free, unlimited and limitless energy that's available for creation at any given time, right? Thank you so much. Take that, create a little heart. If you've hurt somebody, a past lover in the past life, create a little heart, or in this life, and send the heart to them and clear the karma, right? Or create a little star, somebody, you know, somebody likes stars, and send the star to him. Or create a little dancing guy that runs around. Or create a whole scene where it's like the British police chasing a thug. Something fucking silly, right? A Charlie Chaplin silent weird video. Whatever you think that person is into that you have harmed or damaged, if you can't even find out instinctively who that is, then create something that's tailored to them. And the effort that you've used, the time and energy that you've used to create something special and think of them and the gratitude and the consideration of who that person is, that in itself is worth value. And that ascribes the value to the energy. And then the energy goes and dissolves the event. Okay, so that's how you solve it. It can be done instantly, no matter if you've murdered somebody. Like I said, if you've drowned somebody, go find a sink, fill it up with water, put your head in it, and hold your breath as long as you can until it starts to become uncomfortable. And then pull your head out and go and think, wow, that must have been what it felt like times 10. I'm sorry for that. Here's some energy, some love, or whatever. I just experienced what you experienced. And boom, what would have taken you 3-4 lifetimes to figure out, not only just figure out, but also to solve, now you've done it in a day or a fucking hour or whatever. And at the end of the day, time really is relative. All things are happening in the multiverse at any given moment. At any time, everything is always happening. It is, it isn't, or it's sort of in between, or a variant, or a wild card. Something, nothing, and everything, right? And you just have to pick and choose what you're grabbing out or resonating with, or what resonance frequencies you're on to compound what life you want to put together, okay? Now, talking about compounding, I'll give you a chance to sort of get into this, Corey, but I want to move as quickly as I can. What about interest? Right? Like I said, passive income, right? Or passive child support payments. Maybe some energy is sucking income out of you every month and they're receiving passive income from you because of some debt that you failed to pay or failed to recognize and they're sucking it out, right? So there is interest. So you can either be accruing positive interest or somebody could be taking interest out because every day that you don't settle this account is a dishonor on it in itself and they're just boom, boom, boom. Because maybe you did something horrible to them in a past life, right? So that's how you reach out and address these things, is doing the settlement before it compounds. Now, conversely, what about positive compounding? Being able to produce something of value that you can then let go and let it do its thing and just exist on its own, like a podcast, like a book, like a manuscript, like a drawing, like a painting. Every single musician that ever produces anything live, busking on the street, they're literally just sending that energy out and it gets to do whatever. And whatever affects other people in a positive way, or if the intent is for it to be positive, however many people it affects in a positive way, their souls are going to acknowledge you. Just by them feeling, like I said, by them feeling, oh, wow, this is a nice song. That is an acknowledgement of your skill. It's an acknowledgement of your presence. It's a gratitude, a gift, a value that comes to you. You understand? So you are passively, by doing these things and helping people, not because you want to get something out of it, but and genuinely because you feel it's the right thing to do, those are the events that have the most value. Those are the ones that are so neutral. They don't come with any of your agreements or past life shit. Right, your energy is not tainted. The pure energies that you send out are the gold, and the shitty tainted energies you send out are the copper and bronze. They're kind of both valuable. Some of them's being fucked with. So say you've got reservations that, oh, I'm not going to make it as a musician, or I fucking hate these people because they don't listen and nobody ever blah blah blah. But you're playing anyways, and one person really likes it, and you just don't know about it. You understand that the value of what you're putting out is not as much as if you were just happy and being okay and no matter what and sending it out. So creating gold or creating bronze with your actions or with your value is important. And how do you get the most value? Well, by creating gold all the time. And just naturally by creating gold, in this reference of what I'm talking about, then you are living a perfect life and everything is easy and everything comes to you. Even when it appears at the most that it is not. That's the one time you have to be strong, is when the one moment where you think that this is not possible is really the moment where you need to shut the fuck up and make a concrete choice to do good or to do the right thing.
Interesting. I want to comment on that. The nature of doubt, right? You just made a good example. Like, I'm playing, but I'm doubting that my playing is good enough or that I'm affecting the people around me positively. And in fact, it's probably more people are enjoying what you're doing than you think you're doing. So I think that comes into intent, right? If you have a certain intent, you're mindful of it in whatever you do. If you're, you know, you're actually doing a physical practice or you're sending beneficial energy out to people or so on and so forth. The more we practice intent, the more that things like doubt, we eliminate that. I think, you know, in terms of the accounting, I think doubt has a tendency to create a draw or a negative draft on our accounts, even our own doubt.
It's a universal third-party collections that comes in and interlopes in between whatever account you had with somebody else. And because you're doubting the ability to fix it, it's like, oh, well, you've sort of invited me in to give you more reasons to doubt that, because that's what you want to choose. That's what you're creating. So, okay, I'm the universe. I'm going to come in and I'm going to give take a draft and make it harder on you.
I'll give you copper, copper instead of gold.
That's right. So, yeah, I agree with you, Corey. And let's just jump right into the nitty-gritty of the actual physicality and the body connection points. I think anybody who's read some metaphysical material, at the very least, will understand that the soul can dream, and the soul and the consciousness can dream, and it can go out of the body to some extent. And also, they might understand or be aware of that there's this silver cord that is described by a lot of out-of-body experiencers, or some sort of tether or lifeline to the body. Well, what's really happening is the core of the consciousness or the higher self has a focal chakra point inside the body. So the cord is coming out of the higher dimensions where source is, and the higher self, it's coming right out of the chakra into the body, and then out of there, and it attaches to the different layers of your body, and it sort of just lets them do whatever, and it keeps them all cohesive to a certain extent. And the chakras basically are entry and exit points and frequency modulators for the body. So when people think that when they go out of the body, that their tether is attached to their body, that's not true. The tether is attached to their higher self and their source consciousness and who they really are as an essence or a spark, and the body is just a medium, right? Because your soul is coming from the higher dimensions to the body, and then when you experience dreaming or whatever, you're not going back to there, because you have to be dead to do that. So what you're really doing is you're just going to a higher level of energy here in the physical realms, the dream worlds or the astral planes or the fourth dimension or yada, 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 right? So that's really where that silver cord is coming from. Now, I want people to be aware that there are cords that you may not be able to see that are attached to other people through lifetimes. It is how spirits attach to each other and flow their energy back and forth in sort of an accounting, accounts receivable or accounts payable accounting transaction. You understand? And so what I also want people to be aware of, because people are aware of these types of emotional cords, and they go, oh, I did a cord cutting cleansing exercise and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you cut the cord, but you didn't connect. You didn't correct the source points. It's like a dipole across dimensions. You have a negative. Whoever did the negative act is the one that has the positive electron in their body or connection point in their muscle. So say they punch somebody in the throat. If they haven't resolved that and they went through a couple lifetimes, now in that person's throat who was the perpetrator, there is a positive ball of energy or payment or connection point that's positive, right? And the negative one is on the person that you inflicted the negative damage, on their throat, where or whatever form they're taking or wherever that throat might be or whatever, it's there. And there is a connection, a line that's always there, and whether it's feeding money or transaction back and forth is not relevant. The fact that the connection points is relevant. So if there are cords that you can feel, it's because they're taking some payment because you failed to give it to them. So they're collecting against you. And does collections ever feel nice? Collections always feels like shit. Giving voluntary payment and settling your debts, does that feel nice? Yes. So that's why the difference there. So if you're not aware of your debts and they're being pulled from you, you understand, through this positive point where they're draining positive energy, or succubusing you, whatever it is, a lover, a relationship, whatever the case may be, it's because you may have cut the cords, but they keep reattaching a day later or however soon later because the points are still there. So what do? Okay, you take that positive point, and like I said, if you've damaged somebody, the eye for an eye mechanism instantly settles karma. So you imagine being hit in the throat. You imagine that to the point where you create it. You don't kill yourself, obviously, but you create a negative amount of energy just enough and equal to the positive amount of energy that's owed to the other person. So what have you done? You've canceled. Boom. You've zeroed out that connection point on your end. Do you understand? Boom. And that person's, because you finally addressed it, it's a positive event to them. They're like, oh, thank you for doing that. So that's positive. And it clears their connection point. And so now you have truly, truly cleared the karma between two individuals over lifetimes in between dimensions, wherever you're at. And it's not about cutting cords. That's just a temporary fix. And it's not really, it's just a waste of time, basically. So by using the thought energy exercises that we're talking about, the creating valuables and understanding positive, negative cancel each other out. So why don't you, that's the nature of the universe. There's an observation consciousness that is able to utilize something positive and or negative to combine it into something comprehensive. That is what the nature of the universe is. It's a trifecta. It's consciousness observing duality. You understand? Which, because duality is not the only thing, then obviously that's false. But you can manipulate duality in order to offset it and balance it. And that's what we're talking about. And so connection points are where energy or currency, karmic currency, is being paid either voluntarily or by collections, or being interfered with by universal collections because you fucking failed for five lifetimes and the universe is like, hey, bud, you're now, this has compounded in such a way where it's not just you two anymore. Now it's affected the local environment over millions of eons in this galaxy, and this whole negative energy ball in this region of the galaxy is because you two fuckers haven't settled your shit yet. So I'm going to squeeze you until you do. You understand? Okay. And so people will often feel that a physical manifestation of karma will release out of the muscles once they've, whether knowingly or unknowingly, gotten rid of a connection point. Not the tether, the connection points. Okay? And again, that's why Reiki I people have to continually get Reiki over and over and over, over and over and over, over and over. Oh, I felt good for a month, but now I feel shitty again. Oh, I felt good for 2 days, now I feel shitty again. There's a fucking reason for that, because a person doing the Reiki doesn't understand that they're just trying to cut cords, and that's not going to work. Okay? So if you allow somebody to do Reiki on you, and you know what, if you've listened to our show or somehow magically you found out about this information, which I don't think you can, because I'm literally fucking channeling right now, a universal knowledge and truth, and maybe you can get it on your own, but whatever. If you found out about this, or somehow you know that you should be clearing your connection points, and you somehow make a fiduciary relationship or an agreement with somebody to do the work for you to clear those connection points, you don't have to talk to them. You just say, okay, yeah, do your Reiki. Thank you for your Reiki session. But you got to be present and mindful during that Reiki session that whatever she's intending to do, whether she thinks she's cutting cords or he's cutting cords, whatever, it's actually going to your connection point. Okay? We got about 3 minutes left, Corey. I want to get all of that out. Thank you for letting me drop that. If you want to just wrap it up with your thoughts or what you take from that. I know it's a lot to go over, but tell us what you
think. Well, what's coming to mind now is like one of the hardest things for us to do is to consciously think, right? A lot of us have thoughts that come in, they go out. You know,
that's that sea that I was telling you about that you're living in.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's the, you know, that's a benefit of meditation. You know, the Eastern... some of the Eastern philosophies in particular, a lot of emphasis is on, you know, being mindful of the mind, being aware of what's coming in, what's going out through your mind, whether it's coming from you or within you, or you're just picking it up or whatever, but to slow everything down and to just have an awareness. Then there's intentional thinking, right? Where you're actually using your mind's eye, you're creating thoughts, you're creating thought forms.
Holding a thought or an idea for more than 7 seconds.
Right. You're you know, you're holographically creating. And you know, I'm sure you've done it. I've done it where sometimes I've had a meditation almost like a, I don't know, there's like supposedly like prayer is like a directed meditation. And sort of meditation is sort of like the receptive, right? When you're just sitting still, quiet, you're just quieting things down, you're receptive. But then there's the active thought creation and active idea creation. And, you know, sometimes when I really set myself to it, I'll go into that place and I'll be working so hard on creating the image in my mind and laying out my intent and so on and so forth, I'll work up a sweat.
Yes.
You know, just thinking, you know. And so there's, again, we're talking about these levels. There's micro payments and then there's macro, there's big payments and so on and so forth.
Full set offs.
Yeah, it's just about how much energy you want to put into it, you know.
And being aware of the polarity mm-hmm. of event. There's no such thing as right or wrong or good or bad. It's how you perceive it. But there is such thing as, you know, efficient and non-efficient, and then traumatizing and blissful. Like those, everything is there. It does exist. It's just not the way you think it is. So understanding what you might have traumatized somebody with needs some blissful counteracting, mm-hmm. and vice versa is the key, right? And get those connection points.
So yeah, man, just, you know, sometimes I don't do it all the time. I should. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'll do a little day review, right? Okay. How did I go about doing my tasks for the day and interacting with the people or the plants or the animals, you know, throughout the day? How did I do? Right? And that's another way, you know, if you do it on a regular basis, let's say you're not doing it consciously all the time and from moment to moment. But at least at the end of the day, do a little review, do some accounting, right? And be like, huh, okay, well, I could have done a little bit different over here, so maybe I'll offset that a little bit and so on and so forth. Then you're like balancing your checkbook daily.
Exactly.
So then, like,
spiritual books.
Right. So like after, you know, a week later or a month later or years later, and you know your world is falling apart and you're wondering why, you know, you don't have to expend so much energy, right? Or if you have some physical ailment that's a manifestation of a lot of, you know, bad karma, if you will, or accounting imbalances, if you will. Yeah, you push it off for a long time.
It builds up the amount
of effort. That's compound interest.
That's right. The amount of effort increases exponentially. Yes.
Right. Well, so if you're doing a little bit every day, right? It's just like banking, man. You know.
And it's like real life, Corey. So if you have bills and you're barely meeting your bills every month because your bills are your negative karma, your payments that have to go out, and your payments coming in are your good karma. Well, if it's just like living paycheck to paycheck. Why don't you do something valuable? And what is exactly what you're talking about? Daily balance your checkbook. And then what you're really doing is, if you're also doing good things as well or producing value somehow, then you're passively incoming, you're passively gaining and producing spiritual wealth with no bills. Imagine in the physical real world, because everything's a fractal and represents itself on many different levels. So in the real world, it would look like this. Somehow you found a way to be valuable to somebody somewhere at some point with something that brings you enough value to where you don't have to have any bills anymore. You pay off all your bills in advance for however long, and during that time period when you have no bills, say you go live at your parents' house bill free or whatever the case is, whatever situation that allows you to have no bills, which is the negative karma coming in every day. Well, then that is a day or an opportunity each day for you to just build free, untouchable, ungarnishable wealth, spiritual wealth. That's just boom, 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 right? And so to naturally be a good person, to naturally do good things, to naturally bring value that other people can't bring value in, that is the most important thing that you can do in order to build this wealth, because it will be so valuable that any of your little tiny pitten little karmic things, if you set the intention, poof, they're all gone at once. Now you don't have to deal with that shit. But like you said, Corey, if something's going wrong in your life constantly and you just feel like the universe is kicking you in your teeth, kicking you in your ass, kicking you in your stomach, punching you in the nuts, whatever is happening over and over and over and compounding, it's because you've compounded the interest of those payments and now it's started to affect the universe and other people and other people's contracts and not just yours to pay that debt. So not only is that person collecting on you, which started the ball rolling, but now the fucking universe is collecting as a third party for interest because you've compounded and affected them. They're a third party claimant coming in to say, hey, this guy didn't pay his debt.
Right.
Understand? We got to end the show here, but I really appreciate your counterpoint on this and your recounting of your experience as well, because it's truly important to see it from the ground level up and not just trying to say, okay, this is what you should do about it, but like experience and what we've felt and what we've gone through before is also important. So thank you in that regard for your contribution and just being here. Like, you're always consistently here, so thanks for that.
Excellent.
Yep. And so everybody else, we appreciate you listening. I'm going to start to be more active on Facebook, and hopefully everybody will understand how to get on, how to call like Jai Lin did, and get these people interacting, get these people asking questions, giving suggestions, giving value. She brought at least $1 million worth of spiritual value just by what she said on the show for anybody who heard it, not just us. And likewise for us going to anybody else. So this is something you guys can do. I highly recommend and suggest that you put it into your daily practice, the spiritual accounting, and balance your books, okay? And I like to say, and I put this on my post, karma is kind until you fail to pay your debts, and then it's a bitch, okay? Mm. All right, I love you guys. Until next week, pierce the veil and the truth will reveal itself.